Good morning. You are listening to the morning interview. I'm Catherine Rose, and joining me in the studio this morning are Christy Croker and Lauren Bell. Christy is a biologist at UC Santa Cruz, and she's been coming up to Sitka for the last couple of years to study ocean acidification and its effects on the kelp forests, and she's coming up here on her own accord. So can you tell me, Christy, what have you been doing in Sitka for the last couple of Augusts?
Last couple of Augusts and Januaries, actually. So first, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. So I actually started coming up to Sitka a couple of years ago, starting in January, to dive in the kelp forests, which most people in California and Santa Cruz thinks a little bit crazy. But the reason we came is because I study this process of ocean acidification. Mm-hmm. And for your listeners who aren't familiar with it, essentially ocean acidification is being driven by the carbon dioxide that's in the atmosphere. And as we add more carbon dioxide to the atmosphere, either by driving cars or through industrial processes, that gets absorbed into the ocean. And the ocean, in its basic diffusion, essentially there's more in the air than there is in the ocean. So it moves into the ocean, and it causes a bunch of really predictable changes in the chemistry that makes the water more acidic. We care a lot about this because as the water becomes more acidic, it's harder for things that build their shells or skeletons out of calcium carbonate to do so. So those are things like coral reefs. Up here, those are things like abalone or oysters or mussels. And it's just harder for them to actually grow and survive. So a lot of the scientific community is really concerned about this and wants to know what's going to happen in 50 years or 100 years if we have more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So I started coming to Alaska because cold water actually absorbs more carbon dioxide. And wintertime in Sitka is some of the coldest conditions that kelp forests actually ever see. So we dive under the water and we study essentially what's happening to those shelled organisms, and if there are anything, any processes that might protect them from acidification or make them more vulnerable to it, and then what we think that means for kelp forests and the species that rely on kelp forests, including human populations in the future.
And what does a typical, maybe not so typical because you said it kind of varies, but what does a day of your research look like? What are some of the experiments that you are doing?
So we do a number of different things. One of the things that we do is that we do a lot of diving, and we do this in summer and winter to try to compare the conditions. So in winter, as I said, it's really cold water. There's a lot of carbon dioxide in it. It's one of the more acidic conditions that we dive in anywhere in the world. And so we go down underwater. We measure how many abalone are down there. We measure how many urchins are down there. We measure how fast the kelp is growing, and just kind of characterize what's happening in the kelp forest. And then we do the same thing during the summer months as well. Now, during the summer, what happens is kelp as a plant is actually absorbing carbon dioxide or drawing down carbon dioxide through photosynthesis. So the conditions are a lot less acidic, and we can kind of understand, we can try to understand how these less acidic conditions in summer versus the really acidic conditions in winter affect the energetics, how the condition of the animals in the kelp forest.
And you said that, you know, so far you haven't noticed any noticeable trends, but you maybe can anticipate some. What are you thinking might, you know, happen as a result of this ocean acidification?
Yeah, so I mentioned earlier, it's harder for things to build their shells or skeletons, right? So we think that's especially true for species like abalone. And we see this during the winter, that they actually need more energy during winter. And we think this is probably because the water is more acidic. So what we're doing is, it's hard to say what's going to happen in 50 years just by comparing the winter and the summer conditions. So while we're out there measuring everything right now and trying to just get a handle on this really complex kelp forest community, the other thing we're doing is we're in the lab and we're actually running experiments where we change the chemistry of the water so that it is comparable to what we think is going to be like in 50 years or 100 years if we emit however much carbon dioxide. And then we measure how those organisms respond or how those animals respond. So, for example, right now we have an experiment with abalone where we went out in the field, we collected all of these little baby abalone, and then we're growing them in the lab in winter and summer conditions, as well as future winter conditions that are much more acidic based on if we emit a bunch of carbon dioxide. And then what we're doing is we're trying to understand how the food availability or the nutrients that are available to them in these different seasons and in future conditions, whether that actually can help them or hurt them as they try to cope with ocean acidification. We think that during summer months, when they have lots of different types of algae available to them, that they can probably cope with the acidity better. Just mm-hmm. like kids, that if you give them broccoli and carrots and all of those different nutrients, that they will grow better. We think the same is probably true for abalone. In fact, we can measure that in aquaculture. And so we're trying to see, does that help them at all deal with acidification in the future? And how is that going to play out when acidification continues?
And how long does this research need to be conducted or data need to be collected in order to start to hopefully see larger trends?
Every experiment's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. So we've been coming up here for a couple of years, and we'll be coming up for a number more years. The work that I do is what we call community ecology. So mm-hmm. it's broader. It's trying to go from what's happening to an abalone to think about the whole kelp forest. And to do that, you just need more time to measure all the different components of the ecosystem. But, you know, each individual experiment that we do runs anywhere from a month to 6 months. And that can give you pretty good insight into what we think is going to happen in the future as well.
And Lauren, you actually have a special connection with Christy. She's going to be your PhD advisor starting this fall. So can you tell us a little bit about what you're going to be researching?
And that's correct. I had a pretty neat opportunity that was presented to me, and that as I was a research biologist at the Sitka Sound Science Center for the last couple of years, I've gotten to help Christy keep some of her instrumentation running and help her on some of her projects when she's come up, and have really enjoyed working alongside of her. And she opened up the door and possibility for me to actually go back to school and start a PhD. So I'm now getting to jump into that this September through UC Santa Cruz, and I'm pretty excited about it, and have actually already started some of the same experimentation that Christy was just talking about. My interest right now is looking at actually algae and mm-hmm. Algal species that we see around here and their responses to ocean acidification. As Christy mentioned, many plants you think of will actually benefit from more carbon dioxide in the water, but there are plants in the marine ecosystem that actually use calcium carbonate to build, kind of like coral reefs. Mm-hmm. So those might have a detrimental impact. Ocean acidification might harm them. So we're kind of looking at if these algal species live together, maybe there's a net benefit. Maybe there's some, mutualism. They can help each other out. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. So that's part of the experimentation that I'm looking at, and we'll start out my PhD.
And you'll still be coming back to Sitka to do research in the summers, right?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I get to head south for classes, but I'm excited to get to focus on my backyard a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
And you also said that, when you're not doing this particular research, you are also very concerned about climate change and lead a fellowship on climate change communication. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, definitely. So let's see. After the last election, it seemed like there was all of this polarization around the conversation of climate change. And I won this fellowship through the UC called the Climate Action Champion, which I could essentially use to go in any direction that I wanted to work on issues around climate change. And one of the things I'm most passionate about is just having real conversations with people and trying to understand what they know, what they don't know, what their concerns are. So I started this fellowship program for early career scientists, students that are late in their PhD or recent graduates, to help them think about how to talk about climate change. And the idea is not that it's a one-way conversation mm-hmm. about changing their jargon and making it more understandable. While that's part of the piece, what I'm trying to do with this fellowship is really introduce how to have conversations with people and meet people where they're at. Because most people are aware that things are changing and are concerned about it, but there's a lot of politics mm-hmm. and polarization that's occurred. And so if we can meet people where they're at and try to understand what their concerns are and share what our concerns are, I'm hoping that we can actually advance those conversations. So it's fun. I have about 14 students who are coming from all across the United States for a week training on learning to listen mm-hmm. and talk about climate change.
Well, that's fantastic. So anything else you'd like to add before we sign off today?
I'll add one more thing, which is I love being in Sitka. It's been such a fun place for me to work. It's actually, I work across the entire range of kelp forests. So I worked down in Baja California and Central California, and then all the way up here in Sitka, which is the northern edge of the distribution. And I have to say, this is my favorite place to work, in part because of the community. And I love it so much that we're actually starting a UC Santa Cruz field course up here, where we're going to bring about 20 UCSE undergrads. We're going to stay at Sheldon Jackson campus, and they are going to be diving in the kelp forests in the months of January and February, doing their own research projects. And so we'll be in the community, and part of what I really want for these students is an opportunity to interact with the community. So we'll be planning lots of events and reaching out and looking for opportunities to actually get a little bit more Sitkins involved in what we're doing up here too.
And will that be this winter then?
This winter. Right. We'll be up here in February.
Looking forward to it. All right. I've been speaking with Christy Croker and Lauren Bell this morning. Thank you so much for joining me for the morning interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.